Leafs talk, JD Buckus, Sam McKee. Leafs bingo night tonight, buddy. A couple of kids from Toronto light it up with family in the stands. Fantilli ends up with a hat trick. Great video of course, a family member throwing a hat on the ice. A former Leaf scores. The Leafs get goalied by a guy whose numbers have been far less than spectacular all season. Just a vintage loss for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
Here's what I'll say. When Adam Fantilli, they put his mom and his dad, that clip they showed, I thought was so awesome. Right at the end of the game, they showed it. Mom going crazy, dad going crazy. You know, it's fantastic, beautiful. And when in Adam Fantilli's Hall of Fame speech, when he's reminiscing about his first career hat trick in Toronto, he'll give a shout out to Craig Berube for inexplicably pulling the goalie with 8 minutes left, saying, "Chief, brother, I always, you know, we had a relationship going back to my junior days or something, or there was always something," so that he got to have this moment in front of his fans and family. He spent $15,000 on tickets tonight, and Berube's like, "I feel bad for him. Got to give him his moment." And he pulled the goalie for no damn reason with 8 minutes left. But yeah, good for him. Good for him.
So listen, one of my weird analytic quirks is I'm just a hard believer in that pull. Like, you're already losing the game, so go for it in that spot. I don't mind it, but I will say this. I kind of need one of these to go my way.
Awesome take. That literally never works.
I know. That's the thing is, it's not like a hardline take. I wasn't thinking about it in the moment. Like, I wasn't, you know, sitting there playing couch coach going, mm-hmm, hey, time to pull the goaltender. It wasn't that. But when they did it, I didn't have a problem with it. Leafs were down big in the game. They needed something desperate. They threw something desperate together, and it, like, the game was over, man.
Maybe the yawning cage would have been better than Hill to beat tonight anyway. So I don't
know. Well, yeah, that's the other thing.
Just to go back to Fantilli's parents. I'm a sucker for this kind of stuff. You know, mm-hmm, you know what hockey is, and at that level, the amount of time, money, effort, all the stuff that you put in to getting your kid to play to the NHL, mm-hmm, and you're at, like, in your hometown, and he comes
70
in,
people you know in the rink with you.
He scores a hat trick, like, not to do Blue Jackets talk here. That's a fantastic moment for the guy. That's like your first career hattie in Toronto. That's as good as it gets. So congrats to Adam Fantilli and his family. If any of you are listening in the car right now, which you're probably not because you're about to go get boozed up with your boy. Congrats. Fantastic moment for Fantilli. That was awesome.
She did the, like, most classic mom dance there is.
Yes. I know. Everyone's mom does this.
That is in everyone's mom's playbook. That's the scene in Knocked Up with the dice move, but for mom. that is the go-to. Oh, I loved it too. If Nylander told us no big deal on a game when they were in a 3-game losing streak, this was just going to be a little lighter. There's some definite negatives in this, and I definitely want to touch on them. But yeah, I thought the Leafs started awesome in this hockey game. They were just breaking everything wide open, and Merzlikin stood on his head. He had 15 saves in the first period. And how many of these were, like, high caliber saves? Nylander gets his nightly two breakaways, doesn't score on either of them. One of them, he hits the post. The other one, he shoots it right in the glove. But yeah, I just thought Merzlikins was brilliant. And I texted you, this was just, if you watch enough of these games and you know the Toronto Maple Leafs, you knew it was coming. And I fired it off to you, I think probably around the 12th or the 13th save right before the goal. There is 100% certainty that the Columbus Blue Jackets are going to score first. And yeah, that's what getting goalied is. You buy your team a chance. You buy your team an opportunity to shoot it on a rookie goaltender with, like, little to no experience and very little NHL caliber ability at this point in his career. And yeah, you kind of end up just stealing the game.
Yeah. So I was talking to you earlier in the game about how he had an .890 save percentage on the season. And, you know, I was saying, like, yeah, that's not great. But after watching the Jackets in the first period, I'm like, .890 is legitimately the greatest achievement in hockey history because the neutral zone was the 401. Well, the 401 doesn't move. What's a fast moving high? The Autobahn. It was the Autobahn. Like, buddy, Simone Benoit Lafleur just flies through the neutral zone. No one even goes near him. He gets a chance, a shot on net. Matthews, Marner, whoever you want, they were flying through the neutral zone in the first period. Least with a bad goalie in that. If they had been going up against, I don't know, like a Sam Montembeau or somebody like that, or maybe one of the other Team Canada starters, they would have had three or four goals tonight in the first period. They were unbelievable in the first period. And listen, yep. I thought they were pretty good for most of this game, to be quite honest. And I thought they kept the energy levels up. Even when the goals were entering that shouldn't have been entering, I thought that they did keep the energy levels up and that the Stars were mostly pretty good. But yeah, like full credits to you. And he's a Latvian guy, right? Mrazlikins, full credit sure to is. Your countryman, to your boy. He was awesome tonight. And he's definitely got some attitude to him. Yeah. And, you know, I know you love a goalie with attitude. It's not my favorite thing. I know you love it. And him stealing Matthew's stick, I know we'll get into all that. But I thought it was a fantastic showing for him tonight. I thought he was so good. And he clearly, I would say the main reason this wasn't like a 4-1 Leafs win or 4-1 Leafs game in the first period.
Yeah. I got to say, we've criticized the Leafs a lot for slow starts in the past.
Yeah.
And these last few games, they've come out with purpose to start these games.
Was that Montreal?
Yeah, but you kind of look at it on a whole. It has been an area of improvement as of late, right? There's been a couple things where I look at it. Like tonight to me was a bit of a process versus results game where it's like they started on time. The power play goes 0-3, right? That's what it finished at. I don't think that they got a fourth power play. I think it was 0-3. They don't score, but I liked the movement on the power play. Like I just thought guys were moving around. There was a lot of just switching positions and it seemed a lot more creative than iterations of the past. I thought that the Matthews line, despite Matthews finishing what, -3,
yeah,
that, you know, they were pretty dominant for stretches and that they went to the look of, hey, we can bump Nylander up there, and it ends up getting a goal and felt very, very threatening. Yeah. There's definitely issues from this game, but yeah, I did come away from this one going, all right, you know, this is kind of a turn the page, turn the chapter game more so than it is like a, oh, well, they did this and they did that. And it's some of the normal trouble spots for this team. There is one pretty big trouble spot for this team though. You want to go there now?
Yes. What is it? It's not the back. I was going to say, it's not the fourth string goalie, right?
No, actually, you know what? Before I go into what I think right now is the biggest issue for the Leafs, like Hildeby is overmatched, dude. He's just not ready. He's got to go back down. I said this like his last start. It's got to be Matt Murray, who's performing well at the Marlies level. I don't think Matt Murray is some savior, but you just need someone who can come in and make NHL caliber saves. And like the poor kid tonight, just this is the stuff where if you're a worry about confidence guy, then you should be worried about the confidence of this guy after this start. You watch the other goalie stand on his head and play spectacularly, and then you let in everything. You can't grab a rebound. You know, he's losing his net multiple times in this game. He's just kind of sprawling. There's the one where, again, like the puck's right there. Just grab a rebound 35. Just one time. Have a little bit of rebound control. He's not ready. I think he's got to go back down. I'm certainly not blaming him. I know it's a hard market for a goaltender to play in, especially a young one. But yeah, if you're the Leafs, you got to do the right thing. You got to send him down, let him get some seasoning in the Marlies. And honestly, I mean this as about the other guys. Hopefully you don't see him again this season.
No, it's for sure. That's the dream scenario. And
yeah,
I don't think he was supposed to be contributing as much as he has been this year. What's that, his sixth or seventh game that he's played already this year? Like that's not what you had in mind with Dennis Hildeby's 24-25 season. But anyways, move to Riley.
Yeah. Problem. Like, to me, the biggest problem on the team right now, you just got a game with Jake McCabe, and you still finished -2. I hated him on the shorthanded goal. I thought he took a bad angle, and I thought, I don't know, man. You're not on the ice for, you're on the ice for what, 50 seconds there on a power play? It wasn't exactly like the most excruciating shift that he played. Mm-hmm. And bad angle, and then no hard strides once he realizes he takes the bad angle. Like, it's a little too casual for me for a guy that's fighting it right now. And then again, he's on the ice for another goal in this game where he just kind of loses track of the puck. Like, it's kind of in his feet, and it ends up being a scramble. All of a sudden it's in the back of the net. Like, he's just fighting it, dude. There's just no other way to put it. If you're putting him with Jake McCabe and it's not working, it doesn't scream a ton of confidence for me that you going out at the deadline and acquiring a defenseman to work with him is going to all of a sudden solve this.
Yeah. I mean, the worry for me is that you've been moving him around here and you've tried him with Myers and clearly that's done now.
Yeah.
You tried him with Chris Tanev. Chris Tanev has his worst game of the year, ends up dash two. And then you put him with Jake McCabe. He's good in one game. They were good against the Tampa Bay on Monday night.
Yep.
And then you have Jake McCabe go out there and be dash three in his second night with Morgan Riley. So your two biggest plus guys on your team were a combined minus five in in games playing with Riley here. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is because.
No, it's just him. It's on him. That's the solution. Is he has to play better. You're removing when you see nights like tonight. That's what is the point both of us are illustrating. Is like it's no longer a situation where it's about the guy he's playing with.
When do we see the better though? Like when have we seen the better? The playoffs against Tampa.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If you really think about it, this does stretch back to last season, right? Like he was a major talking point for long stretches.
Yeah. So I'm a little like I'm fully like concerned about this. Yeah. Like I've been trying to bat it down in my mind that, you know, they can really figure it out here. And I was momentarily happy when they played well on Monday night. When they paired them up and they went up against a good team and they both were pretty good and McCabe was playing well on his offside and all that. But then you go out there and you play against a team that's not quite as good and they're on the ice for these chances. It's just not a good sign. I got to sneeze.
You do it. I'll say this too, though.
I'm okay. It's just, I don't know. Like, I don't know. We do these shows every night and we have to come on here every night. And I just can't figure out what else to say. Like at some point here, you have to talk about him moving out. And I don't know if it's something you do in the season. I don't know if it's something you do in the summer, but like that conversation is one that's had amongst Leaf fans. You get it texted. It's on the text line on Fan590 all the time. I get DMs. I get all this stuff about Riley. It's a conversation here that has to be had. And we look at that contract.
I've been having it for a long time.
I know, but it's really at the forefront here. I know you've been talking about it, but I would say that it's bubbled up to the top of Leaf Nation more than it ever has over the past month. And I don't know where you go.
It's just not going to happen in season. It's just not realistic. I can tell people right now, like the idea that they're going to move a guy in the middle of his struggles who wears a letter on this team during a season where they're trying to make a deep playoff push and they're sitting in first place. It's just not going to happen. So like we can entertain it and we can do thought experiments in terms of, you know, what the value would be and whether he would no move, like waive the no move. You know, I talked about the idea of like, hey, what would happen if you tried to get involved in the JT Miller sweepstakes and you used Riley and his money? Yeah. Or what would it look like if you were trying to acquire somebody with term who required money, whether or not he would be like an actual asset to a team? I just don't think that for what he means to this team and what he represents to the locker room and his past performance in the postseasons, that they're going to entertain that. I think personally, and again, this is just my guesswork, speculation, probability, that they go through the postseason. And if it continues this way, where let's face it, he has like a Jake Gardner performance where he's crushing them in big games, then that's probably when you make the approach and say, we're looking at something here. Give us a list. Like we want to be able to at least talk to the other teams and see whether or not somebody would have you. Like, you know, someone put in the chat Morgan for Trouba 50% retained, like, you're obviously not doing that. But to that point, like using that name Trouba, if the Rangers can do that to their captain, then you can approach Morgan Riley in the offseason with a trade request if it continues to go this way. And so like to your talking point thing, it's like, you can kill it with strong play. You can kill it with a strong playoffs, but the keeps tracking this way and it's just going to get louder and louder and louder and going to become, like you said, the top bulletin board item for everybody in this market.
Yeah. And I actually am not saying this in a joking matter. I mean, maybe you just got to get Luke Shen.
No, I think that they do have to get
Luke Shen. Like, it's just like, that's, you have to look at prior performance and you have to look at when he was his best and by far the best hockey he's ever played. Outside of that one season with Ron Hainsey was the second you brought Luke Shen in here. And I don't know what it is them playing together. Maybe Shen's a little older here. He's 2 years past. Maybe it doesn't work again.
2 years later from a guy that at the time
people
thought would be spending his time in the press box.
I know.
The other issue with that is
at some point you got to try it.
It's yeah, like, no,
it's the only solution.
I'm not against it. Just the, like you've seen what Nashville's doing lately, right? Like they're stacking points and
their first ever four goal comeback. They were 0-173-0 in prior games when they were down by four.
And so I think that there's probably a mindset in Nashville of, hey, we're trying to keep this thing together. He's a guy that they would probably move out no matter what. Yes, like it's going to be tough for them to jump up into a playoff spot. There's like a whole swath of teams that are between them and a playoff spot right now. Yeah. So like, I would still imagine that Shen is a guy that they would trade for a pick. Like there's no doubt about it, but I'm not as encouraged as I would like to be at the idea that someone is going to come in here and help them. And people have been talking about it forever. And it's the same old point where, you know, if you're making $7.5 million and you're wearing a letter, shouldn't be really leaning on your line mate to get things going for you. Like it shouldn't be Luke Shen showing up with the magic tonic to get things better. So yeah, I just don't really like it right now.
We talk a lot about some of the contracts that Dubas gave out.
Yeah.
Right. That one,
was viewed as like the best one. Like he took a haircut on it.
I know. It's not aging that well.
No, sure isn't. All right.
Fight.
You want to get into some more of the, we got to talk about Nice. That's the big
one. Oh yeah. Right. Like, right.
So we just see Craig Berube say there's no immediate update on the severity of the upper body injury to Matthew Nyes.
Can I make a prediction? Day to day.
Okay.
Continue.
Yeah. Day to day. I don't really know what to say about this because, again, I don't really want to play Twitter doctor. He looked super uncomfortable. He left the period early. He doesn't come back in the game. He's a tough young kid, so I would imagine if he's missing time, it's not overly precautionary that it's something that is going to cost him at least a couple of games here. And for a team that's already stretched pretty thin with the forward depth, like it's a lot of feeling like no one's going to score outside the top line again, right? Like Domi's gone now, I think 15 or 16 without a goal. There was like a little moment from Robertson in this game where he looked productive and they gave him an opportunity for one shift, I think, before they went to Nylander. Yeah. But yeah, it's like not a lot there from a goal scoring standpoint. It kind of sucks, especially right as Nyes in that line looked like they were really starting to click.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're watching on Sportsnet Plus, you saw him fall there. To me, I don't know, hip, the way he kind of fell unprotected right in the side. I don't know if hip is upper body, though. That's kind of mid-body. I'm not sure if they'd call that one an upper body. Maybe like kind of hyperextended his arm weird when he fell. I don't know what the hell it is, but sucks because this guy was playing really great. And I thought as well as that line has been going and how good Matthews and Marner have looked, I honestly think a huge reason of it for it has been the play of Matthew Nyes and him fitting in really well with those guys and just creating space for them, driving the front of the net, creating lanes to the net, you know, even carrying the puck a little bit more. I feel like he was really growing in confidence. So you hope it's not too long a term of a thing. Like he was grimacing a bit on the bench. It wasn't like they had to, you know, stop the game for him or anything. So maybe it's just a couple of games, but sucks for him because he was playing some of the best hockey of his career. Thought he was awesome. Thought he was pretty good up until that point too. So too bad.
I think that there's like a little slight concern for me. Again, I don't think he's an injury prone player by any stretch of the imagination, but he plays a really physical brand of hockey. Pretty sure he led the league or the Leafs in hits last season. And so for a guy that you want going to the dirty areas, like got hurt in a playoff game and it was a dirty play, right, by Sam Bennett. Like nasty play, don't like it at all. But this has happened now a few times, right, where he's got hurt on plays with contact. And so for a big body that likes to engage in it, it's not the most encouraging sign. I'll just say that. Like your age 23 season, 22 season, for you to get multiple injuries at this point from physical play when you're a physical player, it's just something that's going to get watched now moving forward, right? Like if this one ends up being a little bit of time, it's like you're kind of watching the next one and with a little bit more reservation. Anyway.
Just, you know, he plays a little reckless.
Yeah.
Like, you need want that.
That's when he's at his best.
And Berube asked him to play reckless, right? So what's going to come with that is some knocks here and there. And, you know, he skates with his head down a little bit. You know, he flies into guys. He goes to the front of the net, got hauled down in front of the net already tonight. He's falling all over the ice a lot just because he's playing with that recklessness. So this is kind of going to come with the territory. But I think it's a great point by you that it's a young guy here. It's not like he's Pacioretty. Not like he's up near there where like these little things add up. You would expect him to be able to kind of get through this stuff. So we'll see how long it is. Maybe it's a nothing issue, but him missing the third period in a game where they're going to be getting some cookies doesn't feel like he doesn't feel like it's a precautionary thing, like you said.
Reeves fights tonight.
Oh yeah, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, did I love that? I hate to admit how much I loved it.
I don't hate to admit it. I got no shame. I love fighting.
I know, this, but it just
this one was performative for sure, right? Like this is the. Like, this is the stuff that they were like, oh, we want this out of the game. We want it to be the, like, natural one, except for all the natural fights now are after clean hits. So it's like, okay, like, who cares where they come? Just two heavyweights that just completely chucked. Like, they – this is just blind aggression by both guys. Like, look at them go. That's amazing, dude. Like, there's, like, barely any contact. Both of them are short-arming, like, all of these punches.
Yeah.
I thought if you're asking me the scorecard, I give it 10-9 for Olivier. Like,
I think that's fair. Because he scored the early knockdown, maybe a couple more clean lands.
Yeah, but I thought he had more clean punches. Like, I don't know if Reeves even really landed any. Like, it seemed like Olivier kind of got him with a couple when he stood up. But, God, how tough is Reeves to be able to eat those, too, and to be able to get back up? So, I'm happy for Reeves because I think this was probably hanging over him a little bit, right? He just tried to get the Arbor Jack fight, and everybody's talked about it. We've talked about it. It's like, hey, man, how about you fight? That's what you're here for. And I don't know how many games he's got left as a Maple Leaf, right? Like, I'd be pretty stunned at this point if he's on the playoff roster. Like,
maybe like game one for the physicality situation or something. But like over under playoff games at 1.5, I'm leaning under.
Oh, I'll take the under 0.5. Like, you said it at 1.5, and daddy's coming through with a big old bag of money and dropping that down on the under. I just can't foresee a scenario where he's getting ice come playoff time. Like, I know Berube and who he is, but no, he's not good, man. Like, he's just bad.
I will say, I don't know, he had a bit of a buzz after he fought. Like, you know how sometimes when a goal scorer gets a goal and it kind of goes to the legs? Like, it's kind of what the fight did to him. I thought he actually had a few good offensive zone shifts. He got the chance where the poke check, thought he was in front of the net, thought he played in the offensive zone quite a bit tonight. Maybe you should fight every game. Maybe you start feeling better about yourself. But I give him full credit for not fighting all year and then fighting probably the biggest mutant in the NHL.
Yeah, one of them.
Is Olivier the toughest? Him, Delorier? I mean, like, both these guys are tougher than Rempe. Rempe is just big and just gets beat up by everybody.
Yeah, Rempe.
Jack guy's up there. Like, this guy is in the conversation for one of the toughest guys. And Reeves, first period, you know, just chucks absolute bombs with him. Absolutely great fight. Love to see it.
Yeah.
And I thought this was interesting. Did you see the quote that I'm not sure who put it in our chat, but good job.
Matthews.
Yeah, the Austin Matthews on the Ryan Reeves fight. It was a little quiet tonight, especially after two guys go at it like that.
I like that. Listen, man, I'm looking for more. I'm looking for more talk like that from Matthews. He's the
captain
now.
Couldn't agree
more. He should be stepping to the microphone. It shouldn't always be like cute time with Matthews when he's holding court with the media. Like I like that quote. And I will say this though, you know who wasn't quiet during that fight?
The uncles.
No, Matthew Nyes. Show him on the bench. Remember we saw that fan doing the whoop, whoop, whoop. It's like that was Matthew Nyes was giddy watching that fight. He was thrilled watching that fight. So yeah, I was pumped. I was basically a version of that watching it happen. Moment of the game, even though the Leafs lost, even though, you know, there's a greater Riley discussion and injury and bad goaltending, good goaltending, whatever is.
Hold Austin on, before you move off this quickly. Yeah. We had Jody Shelley on our show today, teeing up the Blue Jackets. He did the game on Monday for Amazon, and Berube gave him a shout out in his press conference this morning. Mm-hmm. Oh yes, we have it. This is a war. This is, look at this. All gas, no brakes. Mm-hmm. These two guys just like, that is unbelievable. That was that fight tonight, honestly.
Like, that was a tribute fight.
It kind of was. But those two guys are just holding the back of each other's helmets and teeing off. This is an unreal scrap. They don't make them like this anymore. This is,
God. That's so good. Because those are landing too, right?
Landing.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So,
like this one, they were chucking them, but a lot of them, like I said, were short arm. But yeah, that's a great fight.
Shout out Jody Shelley. Great guy. Shout out Craig Berube for that scrap. Yeah. Hell of a scrap. Anyways, you can move
seeing on. Seeing a scrap like that is when I, you know, slightly reconsider my Dan Campbell argument with you, where I'm just like, God, he would eat them.
It would be a good one, buddy.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even prime. That was like end of career.
Yeah, Brubeck, of course.
Last season, Calgary. I think.
Yeah, yeah, Calgary. Okay, so yeah, Matthews and Merzlikins exchange sticks. Like Craig Simpson has called more broadcasts than anybody in this country's history, and he hadn't seen it before. So saying we haven't seen it before is a little redundant, but like, I just thought it was hilarious that he went and picked it up. That's just a moment where a guy's so angry and like that, like he's a goal scorer around the net and the goalie grabbed his stick when he thought he had a chance to do one. And his mind just blanked out and he saw that stick and he tried to make a point. It's like, you took a penalty for it, whatever. I don't care. It's so entertaining. I love that I have that screenshot in my phone forever now. I love that we have this image of Austin Matthews holding a goaltending, like a goalie stick. It's great. Like, I just love it. The fact that he took a stride with it too before he dropped it, like actually made like a meaningful, you know, the like the receiving rule where you got to make a meaningful football move, right? He made a meaningful hockey move holding that stick, and I love him for it.
That's incredible. Yeah, like I'm sure you played enough street hockey in your life to have seen somebody do this in street hockey. Yeah. No, no sticks to go around. Someone grabs the goalie stick and you're like, here we go. I got the twig. Let's go. It's amazing. And I think it's hilarious that Merzlikins stole his stick. Fair play to him. That's the best goal scorer on earth. And he steals it from him. Steals it from him. And and then he picks up his stick. And it's just a hilarious. I don't know. Crap. I wish I could give them credit. I saw somebody tweet that it looks like one of those images that you circle. It's like, what's wrong with this image?
Yeah.
That it's like, that's exactly right. That's exactly what it is. Like, it's just a weird, weird, jarring image that I've never seen. And, you know, Matthews didn't score with this stick. He scored later in the game. Mm-hmm. Crazy that he's one back of Daryl Sittler for second all time for the Leafs.
Yeah. Not crazy to me, just because like when you score 70 goals.
I know, but like that happens so fast. I guess we're just old, but like But he's got an outside shot. Well, not this year. 420 for Sundin, but like early next year, we're gonna be talking about him as the all-time scoring leader for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Crazy. We're old. Yeah. Happen fast, man.
I think it's a couple things. One, he's the greatest goal scorer of like his era, because I don't consider Ovechkin his era. I know that they are going to overlap for a bunch of seasons, but it's like, yeah, Matthews is the torchbearer in terms of the best goal scorer of like the next one when Ovi retires. So it's that. So it's like, of course he's climbing up the standings, but a little bit of it too, is that Toronto, it just really does tell you how thin this team has been when it comes to talent for an original six team. Like,
yeah, it's fair.
They had Matt Sundin, who awesome Hall of Fame player, right? Like my favorite, your favorite, like never going to speak a word about him that isn't anything other than glowing. But yeah, like you go up that list a lot faster when you need to pass the guys that he needed to pass.
Yep.
Like our young adult life of watching the Leafs, they've had guys who were like, had good, awesome goal scoring seasons, but in terms of got the runway of having 8 years as a top goal scorer, like that's the guys that he's there on the list with,
I used to think when Kessel scored almost like 40, like this is unbelievable. Yeah. I've never seen anything like that.
And you hadn't.
No, I hadn't.
You hadn't. I hadn't. And then, honestly, poor Kessel from just disregard of Matthews, not only the greatest goal scorer that the Leafs have ever had, but just like Phil's entire legacy here. So much of it, like as a player anyways, not as a myth, was predicated on the wrist shot. And Matthews took that away so hard that it's like, there's just nothing. There's very little to remember there. Anyways, rapid fire time.
Yeah, let it rip.
Thought it was pretty interesting with the power play tonight, not just the movement, but that all three power plays, it was basically a minute and a minute.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. Accountability. That's like actually one thing where you can make your stars notice. And that's one thing that I've harped on this, having the two units, is it's not about that. It's about creating a little bit of urgency. Mm-hmm. And it feels like in the past few games, there has been a bit of urgency where they're trying to get it towards the net more. They're snapping around with a little bit more purpose. And I like the split a lot. I have nothing else to say, but I do love the split.
I have one slight counter to it. As much as I am for the accountability,
well, the second unit's no good, so that doesn't help. But I do like the accountability.
The fact that they clearly went into it as a pretty strong mandate, because the second unit did technically give up a shorthanded goal. Yes. Like, it was 2 seconds left or whatever, but they gave one up. Yep. And they really did was the play that Robertson had where he set up Domi, that wasn't on a power play, right? I'm not sure if it was or not. Because if it was, then that was a threatening moment. But maybe. I don't think it was. I actually think that was 5-on-5 in this game.
How's that not ball, by the way? Good Lord.
Yeah, I know. That's where Domi's just like, come on, what do I got to do? Like, I'm trying here, hockey gods. Like, I'm trying to put it on the net. So, yeah, that's this play. So, this is 5-on-5. So, yeah, that didn't happen on the power play. Second unit didn't threaten. They end up getting scored on. And I was a little surprised that, like, literally at the minute mark, the third time out, when they're chasing the game, Berube decided to still go to the second unit. So, I'm not sure how long that lasts, especially given the... frankly, lack of offensive talent on the second group. Like, Minton's there, and, you know,
yeah,
he's young. I don't think, like, the skill set isn't exactly like, oh, he's going to rip through the neutral zone, he's going to create for theirs, he's going to score a goal. Like, it's fine. He's parked out in front of the net. That's going to be his job. Fine giving him a rep there. But, yeah, ultimately, when you're chasing the game and the second unit does give up a goal, I wouldn't have minded had they left the top unit out there for a little while longer in that certain scenario. So maybe you're a little hypocritical as someone who has been, like, clamoring for that accountability, but, like, there, I leave him out there for a bit.
You want to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, I'm allowed to have fluid thought. This doesn't have to be all binary. Yeah. Other rapid fire item. I can't believe I didn't bet on JVR to score a goal. Like, I need to invent an app where it's like a former Leaf is coming to town. It's like, you know how gambling apps, they have, like, the promotional offers that are always at the top? Yeah. It's because they don't want to lose money, actually.
So they would never do that because they put the boost up there and they're like, this looks pretty good. They don't want to actually have one that's going to, like, 80% hit rate.
Niche app idea or Twitter account. Like, this Leaf is playing in Toronto tonight. This former Leaf is playing the Leafs. And these are the odds for this person to score a goal.
Fantastic take and a great idea. Can I be totally honest with you?
Yeah.
Didn't really know he was on the Jacket until I was like, and James Van Riemsdyk. I'm like, oh, of
completely
course.
Forgot. Like, and he scores a vintage. Like, it's him right in front of the net on Dennis Hill to be stretched out. It's like, that's 11 out of 10 times going in the net. Somehow he breaks like the rules of the universe and ends up scoring an extra time. And I just, I was kicking myself. I'm like sitting here, you know, sports better, and couldn't believe that I feel like I miss this every time. Like, I just never, ever remember to bet those things when it's a fringy guy. Like, it's easier when it's an obvious former player that you're facing, because it's like a first time game and it's a big story. But when it gets buried like that, a Columbus Blue Jackets game on a Wednesday night with JVR, it's like, you need the alert. Crap. You need that Twitter account.
He's had a great career. Over 1,052 games. That was his 321st goal of his career, 327 assists, 82 playoff games. He's had a good career, JVR. Yeah. And he's just
high on the list for points getters for Leafs, too, to, like, that point.
His last season as a Leaf, before he went to Philadelphia, he scored 36 goals. And I would say that 280 of these goals have been from within a foot, which...
Yeah.
I love. JVR is he's a good Leaf, JVR. And you're right. It's a great app idea. I don't know if you're
I don't think it's an app, I think it's a Twitter account.
Yeah.
I think an app is probably a little too complicated.
Who's starting it? Are you starting the Twitter account or am I?
No, I there's no shot I'll do it. I can barely, like, you know, my appetite for getting the tweets out is very minimal. Especially, like, the way that everything is through the lens of, was this positive or was this negative crybaby stuff that social media has really become when it comes to fandom. But someone should start that account and I will put the alerts on. Like, I will follow you. I will set the alerts.
Yes.
Just give me that information. Give me what the number is.
You got two followers right here already. Yeah. Ready, person. Whoever that person is, you got two followers.
You absolutely got it. Last thing for me. A little bit of, you know, we like our sweater talk, our jersey talk, our uniform talk.
Columbus
Merzlikin's mask is 11 out of 10 good. It's so perfect. I love it. It's like a different design. It's got the Elvis on it. It's beautiful colors. It's just different. It's not like the classic, just, hey, get an animal on there. You know, it's different. It's cool. It's unique. And I love it. It might be my favorite mask in all of hockey.
You'll like this. I watched a 10-minute long TikTok of the guy who painted it. So like,
oh, yeah?
Send what he like, what I got to find. It'll take me forever. I'll find it. I can't send it to you because you don't have TikTok. You're a boomer. You don't have TikTok. You're not allowed to be on there. So
I never will, buddy.
I'm just going to steal my face. Hey. You're on there every day from the fan account, pal. They got your
patriot. I'm a patriot. I only give all my private information to North American tech giants.
But anyways, like the intricacies that goes into that design and how much to go through, dude, I was enthralled. 10 full minutes. It's a beautiful mask. And like, listen, the Elvis thing's great. The
other patterns that are on the mask where damn, this thing like really stands out every time they were zooming
Google
in on
that video. Google that video when you're done.
I'm going to Google really it. Good. I got to find it. But I'm setting that as the number one mask in the league. Obviously the best setup is Dustin Wolf, but it's always, hey, here's my thoughts on who has the best setup. Who is in net for the Calgary Flames?
or the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah. Penguins ends up. Yeah.
Or Blues. Those are the three.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the three, really. Throughout our friendship, you know, the amount of texts that's gone between the two of us of just different iterations of those teams with whoever's in net going, did you see their setup tonight? Especially when they're wearing home whites. Oh,
I will give Stolarz credit for his bucket this year, right? His bucket this year is fantastic with the shiny, the chrome dome. It looks good, too.
I like Stolarz's because I feel like it fits his like personality as a goaltender.
I wouldn't give to see that in the net tonight.
I can't wait.
Get back, buddy. We need you.
Return of the King. You know what, though? That really was Wool Appreciation Night, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're somebody, because, like, listen, Wool's numbers are great, but there's been the buzz of soft goals happening.
And tired. He's playing a lot, career high, like the ups and downs of a season. Yeah. But no, he's a legit NHL starting goalie, and that's like a borderline starting goalie in the AHL that we saw tonight. So that's the difference there.
Trying to be super kid glovey because it's like this is World Junior stuff where you're like, they're just kids. It's the same.
Yeah, listen, let me just say it this way. If there's a big trade that Dennis Hildeby was the centerpiece of, I would not lose a lot of sleep over that. Let's just say that. I don't know if you heard Kip on our show today when I asked him about we had our mailbag and I forget who it was that tweeted in. Keith Whip tweeted in and said, hey, what about who's your ideal center target? And, you know,
Borny
was like, Trent Frederick was what Borny said. And Kip was like, Dylan Cousins. So I was like, So if that's part of the trade, do it. They always need a goalie down in Buffalo.
God, I actually don't want Dylan Cousins to come here because I'll be so bad at this job. Like, I'll get so triggered if he has a bad game and you're like, and Cousins wasn't very good enough. They'll be like, just click, like show off like a total powder. Like I don't think I'd be good. I would genuinely lose objectivity. Yeah, like
that's fair.
I had a great chat with Marcellus Wiley, former defensive end for the Bills today. It's gonna run tomorrow on my show.
That's awesome.
And we spent a bit of it talking about like media with when it comes to like narratives around quarterbacks, right? And we were saying like the goal truly, like everybody has their hangups, everybody has their things, their biases. It's just like, if you're good at this job or you're someone that I think is like, you know, trying, you do attempt to identify those things, get better at them and check yourself or accept criticism when you're doing it too much. And I would just like to say that if Dylan Cousins was ever a Maple Leaf, I'm not accepting any of the criticisms. I'm full bias talk every night. I'm just like, I'm doing things like, why does Marner go with Matthews and not Cousins? It's my number one take. Yeah, workhorse from Whitehorse. I'm all about it.
Okay. Like, I actually have the one last thing. And now that Matthew Nye's maybe banged up, they called up Jacob Quillam, who you chirped me for on Twitter very correctly. Excellent chirp about how he's going to be my boy. I can tell you that for sure. Yeah. But I think
and he's from out east too.
Yeah, like, Nova Scotia. My heart is in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. That's where he's from. But I will say, hockey is such a small world, man, that he scores the overtime winner for Quinnipiac over Matthew Nyes' Golden Gophers team. 10 seconds into the period, he scores the winner. Like, do you think, like, if you're Matthew Nyes, you kind of hate him, right? Like, how do you like, how do you be like, hey, buddy?
Nah, just because I think that that's just
I would hate his guts.
Yeah, but think about it this way. Like, guys, you get the golden goal scored on you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You got
Matthew guys forego a season of professional hockey to go back there and win the trophy. And they got to overtime of the national championship game. And Jacob Quillen from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, pokes one in with 10 seconds left. I'd never look him in the eye. I'd never look him in the eye.
I love it. I really love it. I think that's hockey, baby. Like, that if is, you get up to the highest level, then guess what? You're probably going to face other guys or be teammates with other guys.
Too. I get it.
It's awesome. Like, listen, it's not the, – the worst scenario is the Cody Bellinger Yankees, you know, was it Stanton?
Yeah, it was ex-wife.
Yeah, like her ex-girlfriend that's now his wife. That's the nightmare scenario. Did you score a goal again?
Oh, that's a pretty big goal.
Yeah, it's a big goal for sure. Anyways, subscribe to this podcast, leave 5 stars, hit the thumbs up on YouTube, leave a comment, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus, that's Sammy A. McKee, and we will see you on Saturday, 2 days off. Nice.